My name's Jake. I'm on staff here with crew. And tonight I get to kind of finish up our series, Purpose Matters. But I got to just address the elephant in the room. I'm a Yankees fan. I'm wearing a Yankees hat. Yeah, I know they're losing right now, but I just want to say, before you take shots at me, are they still losing? This has been 180. Thank you. I was going to say, I know they're losing, but before you take shots at the Yankees, I just want you to realize, once I turn this thing on, that if you take shots at the Yankees, you're taking shots at my son, Brooks, who also loves the Yankees, and my wife, whose leg that you see there. If you haven't met her, her name's Gabrielle, and if you're going to fall retreat this weekend, hopefully you get a chance to spend some time with her and with myself. But anyway, now that we've got that cleared up, man, I'm happy. Over the past few weeks, we've talked a lot about just what our purpose is. And so we've looked at things like our purpose is for the whole world. We've looked at our purpose being evangelism. We've looked at our purpose being to sacrifice some of the things that matter most to us. And while I think it's amazing that we've looked at what our purpose is, it's needless to say we have one. I think if you're anything like me, you start to ask questions like, how? How am I supposed to live out this purpose that I've been called to? I think that the Bible makes it abundantly clear that it's by faith that we live out this purpose. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. If you don't have your Bibles, come down here and get one. Just kidding. I'll have it on the screen. So we're going to be in verses 22 through 36, but before we jump in, I'll just open us up in prayer. Father, just thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to come together to open your word, fellowship. Just pray that you'd speak to us tonight. Pray that you'd speak through your word that is living and active. Love you. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. All right. Matthew 14, verses 22 through 36. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Before we jump in, I just want to say that we all need a guy like Peter in our lives. Peter's a guinea pig in almost every situation, and I love it. This is clearly before horror movies came out, because he does exactly what you're not supposed to do. You see a ghost, or you think you see a ghost, you hear a voice, and Peter just sends it. I think that's crazy. if I'm in that boat, I'm grabbing Judas, I'm throwing him over, and I'm going the other way. But that's just me. But if it's true that we live out our purpose by faith, then tonight I want to look at just two aspects of that faith. What exactly is that faith? So the first thing I want to look at tonight from these verses is this. Faith does. And I just want to tell you, we need to think more about what faith is. And I say that because as I look back on my life up to this point, I realize that I had some pretty large misconceptions about what faith is. You know, I can think back to my freshman year of college where I sat down with this guy who was on staff with Crew, and he started to ask me all these questions about what I believed, asked me questions about the gospel, asked me questions about Jesus, and I got to tell you, I aced that test, and I felt pretty good about it. I can even, this is kind of funny and cringy looking back on it, but I found the perfect verse to put on my baseball cleats and my batting gloves and my hat and my glove. I felt like, God's so lucky to have me. I found the perfect verse that I could put in my, it was Instagram bio. Nothing wrong if you got a verse in your bio, but for me, that is what it meant to follow Jesus. I can think of, before going off to school, getting a brand new Bible, only to have it sit on my desk and never once be opened. My mom was so proud. But I believed in that season of my life that I had real, genuine faith. But in honesty, it was dead. And here's why I say that. Because outside of those things, the right answers, the verses, the head knowledge, my life looked absolutely no different than the people around me. If you were to take a bird's eye view of me and everyone around me, you would not be able to pick me out to save your life because I looked the exact same. My faith was causing absolutely no change in my behavior. Now, when we read this story, we almost always talk about Peter because Peter, he had the guts to get out of the boat and he's kind of easy to make fun of. And so we talk about Peter. But I really don't think it should be overlooked what we see right at the beginning. Faith didn't start when Peter got out of the boat, but faith happened when the disciples got into the boat just as Jesus had told them to do. You know, Peter's step out of the boat would have never been possible had he not first gotten in the boat. And for me, as I look back on those years of my life where I felt like I was really onto something, you know what I realized? I realized that I had never even gotten into the boat in the first place. And so as you look at this passage, where are you at? Have you gotten into the boat? Have you given your life to Jesus? Or are you standing on the shore, watching everything else that everyone's doing, watching all these Christians live their life, thinking that they have something that you don't, wondering how you can experience that? I got to tell you, it's not just enough to know our Bibles. It's not just enough to have the right thoughts, the right answers. But I'm here to tell you, if you're on the shore, there's one way in the boat, and that's by faith. Or maybe you're in the boat. But as any of us who've really lived any life at all have experienced, life gets pretty hard. The winds, the waves, they're wreaking havoc as we speak right now. You might not even know what tomorrow looks like, if tomorrow's even gonna come. Maybe it's not something external in your life, but maybe it's you. Maybe emotionally, physically, you just feel out of control. You feel like you can't pull it together. You feel like you'll never win the battle that's going on in your heart, the battle that's going on in your mind. But I'm here to tell you, stay on the dang boat. Because the world's going to tell you that there's a whole lot of other ways to get better. They're going to say, jump off the boat, swim over here, check out this island. I got to tell you, there's only one thing, there's one person that calms these types of storms, and that's Jesus. So if you're in the boat and life sucks, cling to Jesus. Or maybe you are Peter. Lucky you. That'd be pretty cool. Maybe you're considering leaving the boat for something far bigger than yourself. Because I think it's really interesting that we don't know, it probably didn't cross the other disciples' minds to get out of the boat or think about it. But clearly, it crossed Peter's mind. And I think about you guys sitting in here week after week. You hear about things like fall retreat. You hear about things like summer mission. You hear about all these incredible things that people are doing for the kingdom of God. And it'll never cross your mind again. And that's okay if God's not calling you to those things. But there's others of you in this room who you won't be able to explain it, but you just can't seem to kick the thought. Whether it's summer mission, whether it's an opportunity that we have for you, whether it's something you feel like God's calling you to do. And I'm here to tell you, that's God at work in your life. And take that step, because you are not going to regret it. And the great news is Jesus is right there with you. I promise you that. The second characteristic of faith, after I get my caffeine, is that faith makes no sense to an unbelieving world. I just want to say, if we're followers of Jesus, the world should be doing double takes at how we live our life. Take a moment and just think with me through Scripture about some of the things we see, and I think it's okay if we just call them for what they are. It's kind of crazy. You know, but one of the examples that comes to mind, this guy named Noah. The guy spent an obscene amount of time, effort, and energy building an ark because this voice from the heavens told him that the earth was going to be flooded. And he did it. You were to do that nowadays, here, you're probably going to the ridges. They'd open it back up for you. You got Abraham. He did a lot of things, but one of the things that I think is super wild, especially now being a father, he waited years for a son from his wife, Sarah. And finally, when this happened, he was called to sacrifice his son. I think Child Services is getting a phone call on this one. But spoiler alert, if you haven't read it, it doesn't happen. God provides a sacrifice. Moses killed an Egyptian and then fled the people who raised him, only to go back and say, hey, I want you to let these people go, let my people go. That takes awkward family reunion to a whole new level. And then you got the apostles. obviously did incredible things for the kingdom of God. They were thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. They were accused for literally turning the world upside down. They were miraculously delivered from jail. And they went right back to preaching the gospel. That would make for one awesome episode of Cops. But these things apart from faith make absolutely no sense. With faith, they're kind of hard to rationalize in our minds. But let's take it a step further. In this story, faith literally does not play by the same rules as the laws of nature. Peter walks on water. Other places we see Jesus healing people with terminal illnesses, diseases, before modern medicine ever hits the scene. We see faith even playing a role with the weather. When's the last time you heard a weatherman accurately predict the weather, let alone change it? One more example. I think it's a pretty sobering fact that each and every one of us in this room will eventually breathe our last breath. None of us knows when. We don't know how. But that day will come. And I'm told, other than taxes, it's the only thing we're certain of in life. We don't have any control over it. But the world does everything that it can to say otherwise. You know, I'm going to list a few things. Absolutely nothing wrong if these things you've done. If I had money, I'd probably do them too. But it's, you know, the things that we do just to push off the reality of getting old. We got cryo chambers, we got meds, plastic surgery, Botox. Again, if I had money, I'd do it all. But I don't. We don't want to get old. And we can dress things up as much as we want. We can dress this body up as much as we want. We can be as active, as healthy, as fit as we want. And it's not going to add a single moment to our life. I hate to break it to you. But the world's biggest fear, death, and I do believe that is the world's biggest fear apart from Christ. That's actually the last hurdle that we jump before we're face to face with Jesus. Talk about faith. I'm not afraid of death because of the joy that's on the other side. And think about it, if we're not afraid of death itself, what is there to be afraid of in this life? Absolutely nothing. Has nothing to do with how far we've gotten down our bucket list. Has nothing to do with how tough we are. Has nothing to do with any of that. We're not afraid of death because Jesus has shown us what's on the other side. Talk about a way of life that doesn't make sense to a watching world. And if those truths don't animate your life, they don't give you joy, they don't give you hope, they don't bring light in the darkest of situations, I can tell you, there's nowhere else in the world that's going to provide something better. You know, I mentioned the moment when I realized that I wasn't even in the boat. Fun fact, that was actually this week, 2016. I don't know how many years ago that was. It was when the Indians lost the World Series, right? Guardians? Sorry. I remember walking into my baseball coach's office. You know, I had tears running down my face and just telling him that I was done playing. Baseball was ruling like every part of my life, and honestly, I was drowning. Like, I just couldn't do it anymore. You know, I felt helpless, and that weekend was, crazy enough, fall retreat. I decided that, you know, I took the step to get rid of this big idol in my life. I might as well take another step, and I got to say that God used that to change the trajectory of my life. And it's those first couple steps that have gone on to lay the foundation for every step that's followed. You know, my faith finally did something. And I could also sit here and tell you countless stories about what the world around me had to say. Some of them are funny, some of them are just mean. Still kind of funny, but anyway, I wouldn't change a single thing about it. Faith does, and faith does not make sense to an unbelieving world. So I got to ask, what's your next step? Do you need to just get in the boat? You've been waiting, gathering all the information, trying to decide if this is the right decision for you. Stop thinking and just do it. By faith, get in the boat. Do you need reminded to stay in the boat? Life's hard. Life sucks. Waves are beating the boat. Winds whipping around. Cling to Christ. You know, maybe it's time for you to trust God with something that you've never trusted Him with before. I also want to ask, is your faith raising the world's eyebrows? You getting one of these? You know? Does your way of life make sense to those who don't follow Jesus? I just want to say, I mean, it's been highlighted, I don't know how many times, but I'll highlight it again. Fall retreats this weekend. I know a lot of you guys are already signed up. Others probably aren't. And I got to say, everyone in this room has things that they're going to have to say no to this weekend. And I guess the question for all of us to answer is, are we saying no to the right things? Are we saying yes to the right things? But if you're on the fence and it's crossed your mind even once, I'd venture to say the enemy, Satan, is not trying to tempt you to go to fall retreat. Just throw that out there. And I can't promise a certain experience, something life-changing, something makes you feel real good inside, but I can promise that a step of faith taken in an effort to follow Christ is never taken in vain. I'll pray us out. Father, thank you again for tonight. Thank you so much for your word. You speak to us through your word, and there's so much that we can take from it every day. God, I just pray, I pray that you'd grant us faith. We believe, help our unbelief. God, help us take steps to grow in our faith. It's something that we can truly grow in. And thank you for your Son. His life, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, and the life that we live through Him. It's in His name we pray, amen.